Morning. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see you all here, those of us who aren't on holiday. I've brought a number of items with me this morning. Well, only three, and one of them I sort of pinched from the church. So, you know, haven't really brought them with me. I brought with me, though, CD, Elton John's Greatest Hits, but that doesn't matter, not really relevant. A CD of music. I've also brought with me an Explore France book, and I pinched off the wall a clock. I haven't pinched, to be fair, because I'm going to put it back. Borrowed a clock. And all I would like you to do is to tell me the connection. A clock. You know how random my connections are, by the way, so you know. A clock, a book about France, and a music CD. Very simple. Clock, book about France, and a music CD. Dave knows, but he's not allowed to answer because he has the order of service in his hand. Oh, yes, sorry. Yes. Oh, they're all French inventions. That would be a very good connection. It's not right, but that's a much better connection than the one I actually have got. Yes. Again, brilliant connection, but no. Well, he might have done. Oh. But that's not my connection. Yes. Oh, I like it. It's not the right one either, but that's another good guess. Mine's really random. Shall I just tell you? These are all things that you can be frightened of. They're all phobias. Well, you can have a phobia of music. Well, you could have a phobia of Elton John, I guess. But known is the phobia of music, which is a melophobia. Guess on the melody thing. So that's a phobia. Of course, you can have phobia of France. So that's francophobia. And you can have a phobia of clocks, which is chronometrophobia, a longer one. All phobias. And this morning, I thought, to get our brains in order, we'd have a little quiz on phobias. The quiz is entitled, Name That Phobia. So, a phobia will appear on the screen in a moment, and all I'd like you to do is to write down, yeah, you might get into teams for this, what that phobia is, what that fear of whatever it is. A few bits of paper here, there's some pens. So you need to sort of get in a team, or you could do it on your own if you feel that you're that confident. And if you've got a bit of paper with you, a pen with you, that's fine, but there's some here. Would you like a piece? There we go. And a pen. There we go. There are 10 phobias that I've chosen this morning. So be prepared to write down 10 answers. Some of them might be really easy. Name that phobia. Are we ready in our teams? I'm guessing we've got a team over here, of course. Have we got a team at the back? There's probably a fear of getting zero in a quiz, isn't there? That would be bad. You know, some phobias we find quite strange. Some of them we find funny, but at the end of the day, I guess we're all afraid of something. And some of us will tell people what we're afraid of because it doesn't matter. We might say, well, I'm really afraid of spiders, because there's a lot of people afraid of spiders. But some people won't say because it's something that others will find strange. But we're all afraid of something, either very well-known things or things that are not so well-known. Maybe it's a certain place, or maybe it's a certain people. In the Bible, there's a person who had a fear of a certain type of people. They didn't know they were afraid of these people until God asked them to go and speak to these people. Now, as you know, we've been looking at various prophets in the Bible, and this prophet was a very famous prophet. A lot of people know about this story. It's a prophet called Jonah. And Jonah used to speak for God. tell people what God wanted. And one day, God asked Jonah to go and speak to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah realized that actually he was quite frightened, because the people of Nineveh were a harsh and cruel people. And he was scared of them. He was scared to go and tell them that God wanted them to change the way they lived so that they could survive. And so he ran away. We're going to watch this clip of video which tells the story of Jonah. You see, in Jonah's day, the Ninevites were a cruel and scary people, and everyone was afraid of them, and no one wanted to go and confront them. But God wasn't scared of them. God wasn't afraid of them. God didn't ignore them or hope they would go away or think they were too bad to bother with. Instead, he loved them, and that's why he sent Jonah to go and tell them to change their ways so that they could come back to God. Because the story of Jonah and the story of the Bible is that God loves everyone and will do what he can to reach out to everyone and call them back to himself. God is a loving God. God is a faithful God. God is a God who will go the extra mile to enable people to come and meet with him. And even when we're all afraid of certain people or certain things, God isn't. And God will get involved so that people can come to know his love. When we're on Holiday Club, we learnt a lot of memory verses. We did one last week. You did a couple the week before. We're going to repeat one which we did the week before when Steve and David did the service, which is from Psalm 145, verse 8. And it's called, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate." I don't know whether you remember this one. Basically, you're standing next to someone, hopefully, or you just, like me, aren't, and you go, "The Lord is gracious," and you clap hands together, turn the other way, "and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." Excuse me. "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love." And then it's according to Psalm 145, verse 8. Think we can do that? Or at least smile so that we look happy. Yay! Shall we stand up? If anyone wants to come and help me, then I'll have someone to... Or I could just do it myself. That's fine. Not a problem. We'll appear on the screen so you will see... Oh, Conrad, I missed you. Thank you.
I don't know any of the words.
Oh, that's all right. Well, don't copy us. Copy the screen where John will appear doing all the right things. So let's remind ourselves of God's love and compassion through this song. Lord is gracious and compassionate. And he's not only gracious and compassionate to certain people at certain times. God is a gracious and compassionate God. You know, in one of the Bibles that I love to read, it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. It tells the story of Jonah and how Jonah was a messenger from God. And then at the end, it says this: many years later, God was going to send another messenger with the same wonderful message. Like Jonah, he would spend 3 days in utter darkness. But this messenger would be God's own son. He would be called the Word because he himself would be God's message. God's message translated into our own language. Everything God wanted to say to the whole world in one person, Jesus Christ. So God sent Jonah to the people of Nineveh. And because they heard Jonah's message, they turned back to him. But then years later, God sent Jesus to all people to see the love of God in action. And today, as we think of Jonah and how he had the courage to go and tell people that God wanted them to turn to him, we also come down to today and we think about Jesus and how he came and gave his life as a way of showing God's love. He took our place so that if we turn to him, we can have all that he has. And so we gather around this table, which is the table of God. It's not my table or your table. It's the table of God, where we're invited by Jesus himself to come and meet with him. And we remember that as Jesus was with his friends, before he was nailed to a cross, he shared a meal with them. And he took bread at this meal and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. I have come with God's message of love. And because of that, my body will be broken. And it will be broken for you." And then he took wine at the end of the meal and he said, "This is my blood shed for you. My blood of the new covenant, which seals God's promise to you." Do you know, there's a little bit at the end of the book of Jonah, which not many people focus on. And it's where Jonah, having gone to the people of Nineveh and having seen that God has forgiven them, gets quite angry because God has done this. He says, "I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God. I knew that you would forgive these people." And he was angry. And then God allowed a little plant to grow up to shade him, and then the plant died, and Jonah was even more angry. And God said, "You know, I love people so much. How can you be angry that I have forgiven and that people have come to know me, even if they're people you think don't deserve it? How can you be angry about that?" And you know, sometimes I think we can be a bit Jonah-like. You know, we sometimes don't want to do what God wants. Sometimes we run away, but sometimes we do what God wants and God uses us. And then sometimes we get quite angry and we think, "Why are you forgiving those people? Why are those people getting that when they really don't deserve it? Why can I not be judgmental of those people? Why can I not be angry about that?" And we get a bit grumpy. We can be grumpy Christians. Whereas God says, "Why are you angry that I love people? Why do you get judgmental when I accept people? Surely you should care as I care. Surely you should open your arms as I open my arms." And so the call for us, I think, as we think about God's forgiveness and as we receive God's forgiveness, is not to be people who hold it to ourselves and only give it to those we think are deserving, but be people who show God's love to all, who are not grumpy, but are Christians who give away all that we have received and more. This is what God calls us to do. God is the one that judges, and he has called us to love. And so as we go from here, let's do that. We're going to sing our final hymn together. "To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son." It's a wonderful hymn. So let's stand and sing it together. We're going to take up our offering as we sing this final hymn.